podcast?
Movie, movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Well, we all got high and forgot the code words.
Welcome to the Movie Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 172. I'm your host, Tiggs, and with me, as always, are Russ.
Fuck, I didn't think of a thing to say.
Peter.
Who will no longer be so relevant.
And Alex.
I cut off all my hair.
I actually was like, did you?
Yeah.
But then I realized.
We're doing a podcast recording that you can only enter the podcast app if you shaved your head. Like that one showing.
Oh, yeah, that was, I heard about that. That was, yeah, that's pretty good.
It's a better bit than the long walk one.
What did they do for the long, did you have to walk?
The long walk showing that you had to walk on a treadmill at 3.5 miles per hour, or you get kicked out.
How long is the movie?
They did it. They didn't really do that.
They did one. Like, so you could get kicked out of the movie if you weren't long walking with
them.
They
punch a ticket?
Yeah.
Here's why I don't buy that. It's a lot of treadmills.
Yeah. Did we? Oh, no, we didn't talk about Long Walk last time.
No, I think you cut it from the list last time. Yeah.
I did end up seeing it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Didn't hit. All right.
It's fine, but it's like a movie.
Oh, it's a hangout movie that whose world makes no sense.
No.
You can't think about it for too long.
It's like the biggest small world that exists.
My favorite
Disney ride.
Was that it's a real changing of the guard because Mark Hamill plays a real Michael Ironside type.
Oh,
absolutely.
And I have to wonder if Michael Ironside's health is not at a position in which he could have been in this movie because that it felt like Mark Hamill was doing Michael Ironside.
Well, Michael Ironside's got to be 80, no?
He's got to be old. How old?
This has been a long walk to the beginning of this podcast where we do not talk about the long walk. But so let's just kick it off and get it.
That rule, that was so good.
Let's do literally anything that we actually are
welcome
planning
everybody.
On.
Oh my God. There are so many movies on this list that we had to cut half of them again. In like a month where I didn't think there was going to be that much coming out.
Nope.
Yeah.
Look every week, we look at the end of the cat. Oh, okay. Well, this is coming. Okay. Well, there's like three movies. I still saw eight.
Yeah. Yeah, if I look, I don't even want to, I feel like I need to, like, reflect on my life choices when I count the number of movies that I've seen. So.
Hey, my favorite part of Letterboxd is I get to look back at 2020 and 2021 and feel good about the number of movies I've seen now in 2025.
Is it more or less? Wait, hold on.
It's way less. I'm, like, well below half the amount of movies that I was watching a couple of years ago.
Well, there's just like, I don't do the, if I think I'm going to hate it, I just don't. I'll wait. Why am I going to pay for that?
It's because Peter can't work and watch movies at the same time anymore without people knowing.
These are such better places to start than where we did, but we've already started, so we can't go back.
Everybody. Welcome.
All right, so let's start with a movie that I believe came out the day that we recorded our last podcast, or the day after we recorded our last podcast, so it is fresh in all of our minds, obviously, right now. That's right, I'm talking about Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another? Yeah, One Battle After Another.
I just saw it again on Saturday.
Wow,
humble brag.
The question I have for you guys, how was the comedy of the movie... like in your theater, were people like into it laughing wise or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw like way upstate. So, my theater was like pretty sparse except for like two like brand new film bros.
Nice.
That were behind me that were like clearly had just seen like.
Were they home from like college or something?
They must have been, and they must have like just seen like Reservoir Dogs for the first time.
Oh,
it's like they were like talking like the whole time about the cinematography and everything.
Oh God!
Oh God! Oh man! Oh, get a podcast!
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
It's hilarious, and I want to say that I saw it like at the 1-2-3 opening, like one of the first showings of it, and which was great because a guy walked in and was just like, "We'll be presenting this 70 millimeters with no trailers," and then the movie just starts.
Oh, that's so sick! That's incredible.
Oh, I would have been so late to that movie.
Man, that's sick.
Yeah.
That was the best part. And so, like, everybody was just, like, fully on board with the movie regardless at that point.
Yeah, I saw it the first week it was out at the Lincoln Center IMAX. And it was pretty packed. And then I saw it again on Saturday with, a pretty sizable crowd again. And especially the second time, I was like, man, this movie is so much funnier than I thought it was. And yet, neither time my audience didn't really seem to click in with the comedy of it.
Really?
Interesting.
Because they were forcing themselves to get boners.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think it's funnier. I don't know. It's like almost perfect. It's one of those, it'll be very, very high on the list this year. But
yeah,
I found that it was... One, it was super duper funny, but I think the best part of this movie is like every single person of color is in a very real drama, and every single white person is in a goofy ass comedy.
Yeah.
And that juxtaposition is sick. It's like two different sides. It's like a Coen Brothers comedy if you're white, or like a Coen Brothers drama if you're not. And I thought that the fact that that could intersect and all those characters could exist in the same movie in different ways was super funny. And well, like, I don't know. I don't really have many criticisms of this movie.
Mm. Well, I think it's well suited to the material, too, if you think about, like, people playing revolutionary, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Where it's like, for a lot of white people, in many ways, it is a game, and it is something more farcical, and for people of color it's life or death.
And even when you're like an ally, you can just stop, but other people can't. And I thought Sean Penn playing himself was just so sick.
It was so fun. It was so good. Yeah. And actually, like, you saying that, Russ, now, not the Sean Penn part, but like just how, like, relating it to like the Coen Brothers movies and like and white people and people of color and that, and thinking about like No Country for Old Men and how like Stephen Root's character just like sitting behind a desk at some point and like everything else is kind of going on around him and he's just like pulling strings, and it's kind of in a similar way of this in a lot of ways. But no, I totally see that, and I think that Leo kills it in like the comedy of all of this.
Yes.
And I think that he is just fantastic. I think that the movie, to me, and I've read some reviews that like that talk about how it slows down after the beginning. And like the initial the revolution scene. And I actually think that like that was my least favorite of the movie. And then I thought that like everything else really kicks into gear after that. And I just enjoy watching just the journey of the entire movie after that.
As a prologue, I think it's a little long.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
No, totally. I think that also is some of the weirder stuff in the movie.
Oh, this movie is not afraid to be weird.
No.
No.
And like,
oh yeah. Yep.
No, I was gonna say, like, in I think PCA a lot of times like uses like hyper like characterized versions of things and like. And all that to accentuate weirdness, and I think like he really went for it in this one.
Hmm. What's the white supremacist group, the Christmas
Adventurers?
Christmas Adventurers is quite possibly the funniest thing I've heard all year.
I kept waiting. I was like, there is no other name. There is no other. Oh, that's just perfect.
It is so fucking stupid. and yet deeply believable.
No, I was just gonna say, like it's something that, like, again, it's so, I guess, like, is that hyper real at that point?
Right.
Because it's like, at this point, like, a white nationalist group that all they do is just say Merry Christmas to each other isn't fucking far off.
Yeah.
I just love the little hints about how actually huge the organization is. Like, at the end when he's showing Sean Penn the office, he's like, oh, we'll show you the Southwestern Ops. It's like, so how fucking big is the Christmas Adventurers Club?
Just some big, stupid nonsense.
Yep.
Yeah. Sean Penn's walk is incredible.
Yes.
And his stupid fucking confirmation suit. His terrible little boy ventriloquist dummy suit is so fucking funny.
Like, it also, have you, any of you, like, tried to do that walk? Because it's really hard to do, like, to do it as convincingly stupid. It's borderline impossible. I challenge you guys to do it.
I'll try.
Yeah.
Did anyone see this in, like, I mean, I guess you saw, it wasn't in IMAX, was it?
It was in IMAX 70.
70.
Yeah.
I saw it just normal 70. Yeah.
I saw it in just regular.
Yeah, it was the whole screen at Lincoln. It was incredible.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So got a little motion sick during the car chase at the end.
That car chase was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
I thought the music, I mean, obviously the music is pretty much always good in these.
Yeah.
But I was a big fan of this one. Like, it never kind of, it just picked up and it never really stopped.
Yeah.
Also, does PTA does an amazing frustrated phone call?
Oh God!
Like no other. I think
Leo's perfectly cast for those moments too.
Yeah.
Yes. I really like a lot of that was in the trailer, but I killed it. Yeah, I think that this might be one of my favorite Leo performances.
I really like this kind of put upon, stressed out, anxiety ridden. Not perfect, like the Inception version of him. I don't super love because I'm like, that's the guy that's got all the answers and knows all the stuff. I love stupid him or vulnerable him. Like, he's so much better in stuff like this and Once Upon a Time than like Revenant.
Yeah,
yeah. I think his Wolf of Wall Street performance is the best combination of the cute, cool Leo who will absolutely crumble apart.
Yeah.
I think that's still my favorite performance of his. But
I just have a tough time loving it because I know what that movie has done for a generation of boys, like literally a little bit younger than us. Mm. And have turned them into the dumbest.
I mean, there's a ton to talk about this movie. I don't want to just continue with one movie.
We could talk about, like, one battle. I feel like even, like, as we get into award season, this is going to be a movie that we talk about a lot. This is a movie that I've been, like, dying to rewatch. I haven't gone back to the theater to see it. I once this comes out on what I assume will be a Criterion 4K release, I will be getting this, like, immediately. And just, like, I literally can't wait to watch this one again. This is the one that I've been, like, looking the most forward to rewatching, even though the only movie I think I've really rewatched this year has been Drop like 6 times.
God.
Yeah,
is that Final Destination Bloodlines?
I've only seen it the one time.
Oh my God, sacrilege.
Yeah, I have to fix that. I'll fix that. Yeah. Oh, and Superman. I saw Superman a bunch.
Yeah. The rewatch was really good. It completely works again.
Okay.
I think you're able to pay attention, as you said, to what's happening behind Leo a little bit more on a second go around, because that's the most interesting part of the movie. I think Chase Infinity is incredible.
Oh yeah, she's awesome. Have they done anything else?
No. One thing on their something called the Julia set as Julia, but there's no information for it.
Holy shit.
There's a moment, because I mean, the first time I saw it was like the stress of how that movie's going to end. And then I was the ending of the movie this time around, really paying attention to her performance when she is screaming at him at the end.
That's the one thing that I want to rewatch. That's the one thing that was the only thing that didn't like sit with me of the whole movie was like that final bit. I was like, is it like, I don't know. That's why I really feel like I need to rewatch it.
Oh, it worked. It worked gangbusters my second time around.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on. We could keep going, but let's move on because I want to hear about Good Fortune. Okay. Moving on. Okay.
Totally there.
There's nothing wrong with it other than like
Aziz,
the people. Yeah. Like, hey, even just like all these guys, I like enough. I like them enough. But it's like, I don't know that I need to hear about how hard it is from you.
My frustration is that it's a very, very clever bit. That it's a cookie cutter opening, and the whole thing with like, oh, the angel's going to show you your life instead. And where it sort of turns is very clever and fun.
Okay.
And especially, I love Keanu in this.
He's great.
I mean, is he ever not great?
But as you said, as you're watching it and just being like, yeah, this is really clever, but it's you guys saying this. It's especially Aziz. This movie dropped like a week after the Riyadh Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And it's like, this feels stupid and it sucks. And it, as you said, it's super frustrating while like being kind of clever. It was like the most... Yeah. Like Simon Rich-esque project has been without having Simon Rich's like hands on it.
Is this the one that like the movie that Bill Murray was supposed to be in?
Oh really?
No, I'm asking.
Oh, I have no idea.
You know, that's a great question.
Because I thought there was an Aziz Bill Murray project that got like
they got shelved at some point. Yeah, so check that out.
Because people were inappropriate, namely Bill Murray. But
3 weeks ago was something called Being Mortal.
Oh, okay. So maybe just weirdly something's weirdly similar.
It's an unfinished movie.
Oh, okay.
From the title, doesn't sound too far off.
No, I think that this is like you watch it and it's like. It's really like it's going for a like I feel like a 90s kind of like sweet comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just I think it's just fine. Like if you were on your phone watching this, if you're not texting and driving, hey. Oh, yeah. I don't think that you'd really miss much.
No.
No, it just doesn't. There's nothing wrong with it, but it feels like, you know, I guess like in the early to mid teens when like Louis got his show and then Aziz and then everybody was trying to do their version of a Louis type show. Mm-hmm. This just feels like that, but as a movie.
This is his invention of lying.
Yeah, it's just like what's the point? Yeah. And once you get to the point, I'm like, well, then you're not the person who should be saying this.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for making something about like the gig economy and all that, but it almost feels too late and you're right, hollow coming from these really rich people.
Yeah, as I really like Keanu's reactions when he's like, what do you mean? Like, isn't fixing the pool such a huge annoyance?
That was actually, that whole scene was, I was like, that was when my interest peaked.
Yeah. And I think it goes down from there, while still being like, hey this was clever. This was, as I said, a clever idea. I don't think Aziz and Kiki work together at all.
Not at all. No chemistry. No. And she's got chemistry with a lot of people.
Yeah. So their scenes came off super flat, which really annoyed me. Because it was either you're watching the two of them or it's flipping back to Keanu and Seth Rogen, who I think were way more interesting together.
That was a way more interesting movie.
Yeah, and it was weird because it almost like the movie halfway through knew that. Because I was like, whoa, we're getting a lot more of them. Like, this wasn't an ensemble piece, and now they're turning it into like a two-person, two-hander sort of thing. But you mentioned Simon Rich, and that's like a perfect, this is like a short story.
Yeah.
Like a clever short story in a series of short stories.
Yeah, it felt long for only being an hour 37.
Yes, because it is.
Damn, really?
Is the Life Swap movie back?
it like, well, we got a Freakier Friday this year, so it's probably never left.
I did like that this did Life Swap without it being like impersonations of each other.
Yes. It's just easier.
Yeah. I just said it has a clever peak. And I think it takes until Seth Rogen remembers his old life for it to get interesting again. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, as you said, it feels a very confusing intent. But
all right.
If you love Keanu, give it a shot.
I do love Keanu. And that was kind of like the one reason I thought about seeing it. Even like, you know, it's on demand now. And so I've been like, I've been eyeing it and being like, I don't know, maybe it's worth money, but maybe we'll just wait until it's free, streaming. And it's really, the only reason I want to watch it.
Okay. Don't pay. I'll pay you not to pay.
deal. All right. Let's keep it going then. And now the only other one that all four of us have seen is Begonia.
Stavi.
Oh my gosh. For a movie with like four people in it.
Yeah. I'm like, how is this movie with four people that's objectively great? How is one of them Stavi?
Oh, so good.
You need to get a Greek in there. That's why.
You got to get a Greek in there. Exactly.
You got to get him to the Greek.
What a weird bit for his character as well.
Dude, so weird. And like, didn't have to be there, but no, was there.
No.
Didn't have to be there at all. And so I'm weird. Like, you're just gonna dance around this, of all things?
I think if they just left it like the first instance of him being like, hey man, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think you could have left it there and just people have been like, you know, it would have been something for YouTube videos to read too much into. But instead went and like
goes back at it out
and just were like,
they put the text on the page just 20 pages later.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Emma Stone is incredible.
Emma Stone's great.
Is she the best? Because I think she might be. Like, she's the friggin'. I think she's the best actress around right now.
Well, and still at Alligator Lounge.
What's that?
You remember the whole week of like the rehearsal to premiere?
Oh, yeah. She was at Alligator Lounge every night of the week.
Oh, my
gosh. But she can just. I love anytime she is not overtly likable.
I agree. And
she is so boring as likable, but she's so awesome as anything else.
yep, totally.
And I think that like setting this movie in like post QAnon paranoia.
Yeah.
Is like, that's what we in the biz call an Alex movie. Oh yeah. And I ended up loving this.
Because it's fucking great. Jesse Plemons also, man.
Oh my god.
Holy
He's
shit.
He's so good in this.
And then the like the young actor who plays his cousin is
his Aiden. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And like is actually on the spectrum, which I was like, thank God.
Yeah. That would have been,
and you know, I think the casting of, you know, this actor who isn't, you know, exactly putting on an act for a lot of the things that he's doing other than trying to be this character is such a weird tightrope to walk, but I think it kind of is perfect.
I think you have to be Yorgos to be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
Because I think that like anyone else,
yeah,
it would come off as like either like falsely like pandering or exploitative, and like I don't know how he does it, just being a weirdo.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch the original film.
Oh yeah,
it's Save like the Green Planet.
70s. Yeah, yeah, that's
I've been wanting to watch that. I'm just trying to give a little bit more space because I think this, obviously super works and all the weird kind of twists it takes.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I super love the ending.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think it's a very fun ending. I don't know if it like adds a great deal to it that I would maybe want, or maybe I was expecting. Maybe a second time around, I don't care, and I'm not looking for something more from it.
I can see that, because it took me a minute to like work myself into being good/appreciating that ending, because it wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah,
and then it was happening, and I was like, "Well, this isn't what I expected." And even though the movie kept telling me, "Hey, you're not going to get what you want."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It told me. I just wasn't paying attention. I just didn't want to hear it. And then it did exactly what it said it was going to do. And I was mad. Or not mad, but I was just taken aback. And then I got out and I was like, well, if we go back to like the point of the movie and everything, it works. It totally works. And I like that.
I think they should have done a Clue on this. Multiple endings.
Oh, that would have been so good.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. When we end, I would love to chat a little bit more about ending details. I don't feel like.
Also, the score in this was like.
Score's really good.
Yeah.
Score is really good. Everybody in it, like, again, for like so few people that are really like kind of driving this whole thing the entire time, it just kind of moves. It's also like oddly short, I feel like, and it just feels incredibly short, but it was just the ending that kind of if it all ended after like that initial calculator scene, I would have been like, yep, that's the natural point for this. I don't really need to know anything more. And that would have been fine with me. I think that if I was to see this might actually be my favorite Yorgos like flick so far.
This is the one that's praise.
This is the one, but I typically like bounce off of his movies for whatever reason. And so this was the one that like really kept me going the entire time.
You're not a Dogtooth man?
What's my
favorite? You know what? I haven't seen Dogtooth.
Dogtooth is weird. His early Greek stuff is insane.
Well, that's most early Greek stuff is insane, to be fair.
you guys heard of this Democracy thing?
Nope. Never heard of it. I found this to be like incredibly entertaining, like super fun. And then just like heartbreaking as well, with the cousin. Just like the blindly following. Yeah. There was a lot going on in this that I really, this was something else for how much everyone was going. I'm wondering which, like, there's always acting noms that come out of this. Plemons will probably get something out of this.
Plemons and you'll get Stone.
Yeah. Stone will get something out of this.
Even though best actor might be Pack, but I would still like to see him there.
There's going to be a lot going this year. It's become a wildly stacked year. Because you can't get past drop. So.
Well, Alex, thanks for stopping by. You've been a real good boy. Transition.
Oh, wow.
Thank you all.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good transition.
On the internet with this podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. We will talk to you soon. He's already gone. All right. So what did you guys really think of Begonia? All right. So we've got a couple more that we want to go through, and we got a couple of these deuces here to get through. So let's kick through some of them quickly.
Let's Pete, because
you mentioned Good Boy. I have no interest in jumping into that one first. So we'll just go with It Was Just an Accident. Winner, Palme d'Or, Cannes this year.
It's really, really good. I think the performances in it are kind of pretty miraculous.
Yeah.
They keep adding characters and you're like, okay, is this going to be the one that like kind of overfills this cup a little bit?
And it doesn't ever.
Doesn't at all. And like, cause at one point they pick up, I can't remember the dude's name now, but he's like clearly the more unhinged one.
Oh yes. And he's so good. And you wonder what's going to happen.
I guess I don't mean to rust down it, but I don't know if anyone knows what this movie is.
I don't.
So it's
and Peter so Uppet.
It's about a guy who kidnaps a man that he Peter sees Outet. One night.
There we go.
And because he believes that he was his interrogator or torturer, okay. However you want to put that, and he starts. But he's unsure of it. So he starts gathering up other people that he knew who was interrogated or tortured by this guy to see if they can corroborate it.
Mm.
And then the big question is, okay, if it is him, what are we doing with him? And if it isn't him, what are we doing with him? Like it's,
and then you like, you get into a bunch of stuff in this guy's life too. And like when the cell phone goes off and like you've got, and they like go and like deal with that. And it is stressful. It's funny. It's like it's nerve-wracking. And a lot of the movie, or maybe not a lot of the movie, but there are some scenes that are just played out in like a single shot, single take. Like that the scene at the end with like the tree, and it never cuts. And you're just like, how are they just like managing to like pull this off so well? It's so good. It's intense, and this is one that's totally worth seeing. All the performances are great, and then like the final scene, just like at the back of his head, and you're just like, and just like here, oh my gosh, it's so. It's really good. It's really, really good,
and only about an hour 45.
Yeah, really quick.
Once you start hearing people talking about a foreign film that's most likely like that won the Palme d'Or might be up for Oscars, you're like, okay. And how many hours?
Is that 3 hour territory.
You're right, and it's not weird either. Like because a lot of times when you talk about these, it's like, crazy. So how many people have sex with cars in this? And you're like, none. So like it's pretty normal. During this or the trailers for this, The Secret Agent was one of them, which was also, I guess, won a bunch at Neon is back and making some like normalish movies, it seems like. Secret Agent looks really good. And then there's the Truffle film. I think it's called like Truffle or it's not the English version of it, but it is. Watch the trailer because the dog is so cute. It's just this tiny dog and he is adorable. And it's great. And I haven't seen it obviously, but dog gets five bones from me. So, or five, I guess, mushrooms. We'll see. Okay. It was just an accident. It's super good. Yeah. And it moves by really fast too. And again, it's really funny. It shouldn't be funny, but it's really funny.
No, it really shouldn't be. It's amazing how they find those moments and let them. Because there's a guy kidnapped for this movie for like a good hour plus.
Most of the movie, except for like the very first scene and like the very last scene, he's kidnapped.
Yeah.
Oh. Wonderful, wonderful movie. Let's go over to. All right, now let's talk about Good Boy. Ross, what'd you think of Good Boy? There's a good boy in this movie.
It's not that good, but it's it's good. Like it's cool that it was made. Like,
yeah,
I think this movie as an experiment is very successful, but as a movie, it's a little it's kind of lacking a little bit, and I think that's where the whole it's a goddamn dog comes into play.
I think that it has to just be it's a goddamn dog, because like if you try to break down the actual story of this movie,
it's nonsense.
It's complete utter nonsense.
It's so pointless. But if you like dogs and you like dogs that look like they're acting,
yep,
then you will like a decent amount of this movie. Like this movie, like it's a 2.5 in a weird way. It's like a 1 in terms of a movie, but it's a 5 in terms of that good boy.
Yeah. Yep.
So it is, you just like seeing him. I'm like, I know this is stupid.
Yeah.
But I like him.
Yeah. And then like when the dog starts having nightmares and stuff, you're just like, what's going on here?
But don't worry. He's not having actual nightmares because this dog is not an actor. It's nope. Just wait, a
but
dog.
If he's not acting, wouldn't he be actually having nightmares?
Oh God. Jesus.
All right. So you're five right. Stars.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like he was acting.
Then this is abuse and this movie needs to not exist.
Best dog of the year goes to this dog, the good boy. Actually not totally sure about that, because The Friend also is a very good boy, and this Truffle movie looks like it's got a good boy in it as well.
Yeah, like if you like dogs, see good boy, and if you don't think you can withstand a 70-minute movie, then don't.
That where like 90% of it is just the dog. And yes. The humans' faces never are shown except maybe like once.
Maybe. I don't even recall seeing a whole human face at any point.
Yeah.
But there might be once.
Maybe once. And then, you can't think too deeply about it. About what's actually happening.
No, don't. The less thought, the better. Because yeah, I walked out and I was like, wait, what? But they showed in my screening, they did that like 5 minutes afterwards of like seeing the behind the scenes. And I was like, oh, that's a great way to end this, because if this movie ended with just credits, I would be like, fuck this. But I got to see that dog again, like being cute and cool.
And being a good boy.
Oh, all right. This was like we got to watch a guy's hobby with his dog.
Yep. That is like 100% what this was.
And that's kind of cool. I'm like, oh, you really have been working on like trying to get this thing made for a long time. I applaud your determination. Your movie sucks, but it's really cool that you made it, man. It's a better dog movie than I could make.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I don't think that my parents' dog would sit around like, you know, and like pay attention.
No fucking way.
Like they can't do like, you know, the bloopers for this are 3 years long. So there's no reason to do that. All right. Speaking of bloopers, I don't know how I'm going to segue that into Blue Moon.
I have no idea where we're going on this list.
Pete, what did you think of Blue Moon, Richard Linklater's first movie of this year before the next one comes out this weekend?
I really liked it. I think Ethan Hawke is incredible.
Yes, he is.
It feels very stagey, but the performance is good enough that I think you can ignore it. I did not realize that the character he was playing is like a 5 foot tall person.
Yep.
He's like a little guy, right?
Yeah. Very short guy. Yep.
So there is some like body replacement. He does some like crouching. They do some like camera tricks. But the movie starts and he's walking down the street and he passes this guy who I don't know. Ethan Hawke's supposed to be 5 feet tall. So I was like, who is that 8 foot tall man on the street? I was so confused. I was like, because Ethan Hawke like kind of turns to look at him. I was like, are you going to comment on the 8 foot tall guy? And that never happens. And then like once he gets into the bar and he starts talking to Bobby Cannavale and you see like how little of him sticks up above the bar from sitting at the stool, I was like, oh, he's small. But yeah, I think he's great. I think he's really, really great. It's a very fast paced movie. It's a great single setting. One night.
I love the single setting of this. Yeah.
Kind of Linklater thing.
one night, except for the very start of this, which happens 2 years later. And then it flashes back to this night. I thought Andrew Scott as Richard Rodgers was also really good. Margaret Qualley, very good in this as well. Patrick Kennedy as E.B. White. Like, yeah, why not have E.B. White in here talking about the origins of Stuart Little, which seemed delightful. A little ham-fisted, but like
really, you know, delightful. They really milked that part too, which was so funny.
They really do. Like, you don't expect the story to go on so long and to be like, hey, call him Stuart, but with a U or a W. really enjoyed it. It feels like very Linklater-ish the whole time. And yeah, I think that like Hawk's got to get like a nod for this.
I would be shocked.
And he does really well. I didn't know the Rodgers and Hart story, apparently like how much of it does happen, or at least how much of it is inspired by like the actual opening night of Oklahoma and stuff is pretty interesting. The kind of like the letters and correspondences that Hart had with like an Elizabeth Weiland and stuff like that. So it was very good. It's really, really good. It's very much like a push forward on just the acting chops of everybody within it.
Yeah, he's Ethan Hawke's much better in this than he is in The Black Phone too.
Assuming that he is in The Black Phone too, which still not, yeah, you know, well, jury's out on that. Unconfirmed. Okay, so keeping it going, Tron Ares.
Oh.
I went to the movie theater just so I could borrow their sound system.
What a good soundtrack.
Yeah, because I saw this in IMAX. Well, it was IMAX 3D. And the 3D the 3D helped it. The weird like bow staff light things that the bad guys have really popped in 3D.
Because the only thing I could think about, like, well, if I saw this in 3D, because of how red this movie is, it would have been like getting flashbacks of using the Virtual Boy or something like that.
The score in a cinema is incredible.
Yeah.
What I was gonna go see it, and this is another case of the I just don't want us, where like I don't want to see. I'm assuming 2 hour and 20 minute movie with Jared Leto in a lead performance.
Too long.
Like, it's I just very can't long. Do that. And then once I realized, you know, you can just listen to the soundtrack. You don't have to see it. I was like, I'll just do that then. Soundtrack rules.
Told you he played a computer program that was obsessed with Depeche Mode and talks about Depeche Mode a lot.
So much. So much. And like... Great.
Actually, nope. That's giving me a reason to see it. I love Depeche Mode.
And it's just under 2 hours.
You guys, I might go see Tron.
Yeah.
See it.
Yeah. The plot's kind of ridiculous. Especially because it turns out like the MacGuffin is something that like Flynn created decades ago.
Well, that's the dumb part about this. Also, Jeff Bridges in this Jeff Bridges, I'm not saying has been phoning in performances, but he literally phoned this performance in.
Pretty ridiculous. Yeah, Jared Leto is terrible.
Obviously. Jared Leto's terrible. Greta Lee is like kind of fine, I guess.
I didn't really feel that she was trying.
Well, she probably met the moment. This is stupid. All right, whatever.
Yeah, if you are in for just like Tron, then you're going to enjoy just like all of the stuff around it, which I'm in for Tron, you know, I'll be honest. Guy. Yeah, I'm a Troner. I'm a Tronophile. and so like it was right up my alley. But I don't know if it was just like the soundtrack or just how bright and neon and like an electric half of it was. Electric, not in like a good way, but like I was having like heart palpitations throughout this movie, being just like, I don't know what's happening and I don't know how to express myself during this movie, and I had to walk out at least four times and just like catch my breath, and I don't think that was the movie's fault. But there was a lot of just like, maybe it was just like getting Virtual Boy flashbacks and being like, what's about to happen right now? It's enjoyable. Like it's a Tron, I guess. So if you like a Tron, you're going to like this for the most part. Yeah.
Okay. That's good enough.
Legally a Tron.
Yeah. Legally a Tron, legally a blonde. Yeah. Alex isn't here. I couldn't pull that one off. Russ, what'd you think of the Mastermind?
It's great.
It's Why really was good. This in theaters for 7 seconds?
Well, hopefully it was longer than that, because it's about a 2-hour movie. So, you know.
I missed it. I'm so pissed. Sorry,
go ahead. It is sick.
It's really good.
Kelly Reichardt's one of the best filmmakers around right now. It's so she's not close.
Doing like taking something that could be action packed, making like really slowing it down, kind of like taking what would, and in this movie specifically, taking like what would be the third act of like most other movies and just putting it like right in the beginning and then being like, now deal with the consequences.
Well, and yeah, like I knew nothing about this movie other than like, you know, the tag, like, you know, it's a mastermind, art thefts, and that's it. So my assumption was, oh, we're going to watch a bunch of 1960s heists. That's cool.
Because especially after like the 20-minute mark where they're doing the heist, and you're just like, are there going to be more heists after this?
My assumption was we're going to get at least 2 to 3 more heists because they're going to get greedy about heisting.
Right.
And I was really into that movie. Yep. And then this is a completely different movie than that. And it's like not the movie I wanted, but the movie I deserved.
And, it was so good.
Josh O'Connor, if he joins her repertory players like John Magaro, that's like such a good get. Because
Magaro's got like a really nice scene in this too. He's very good in like the when he shows up.
I saw his name in the opening credits and then realized we were pretty far into it and I hadn't seen him yet. And I was like, did I miss him?
Yeah.
And then he shows up and I'm like, there's my boy.
That's what I was. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, "Oh, Magaro's in this," and I kept looking at his crew, and I was just like, "Is that Magaro in like face makeup?"
Yes, yes. I kept thinking that the bigger guy. Yes. I was like, "Is that Magaro?" And I'm just not catching it. I literally had the same thought because my assumption was this is going to be a movie about a group of heisters heisting, and it's gonna just be cool. But this movie decides to make you think about what it means to steal shit, what it means to steal shit when you don't have to, what it means to steal shit while other people are fighting for rights and against the Vietnam War and like real things.
Yep.
And it makes his selfishness that much worse.
And then and it's funny how like Reichardt like kind of like juxtaposes all of that with like the super cool jazz soundtrack of just a classic like heist movie that like or like an Ocean style movie where you're just like it's kicking along, you're just like yeah I'm ready for the next thing, and it's really just like him like waiting around and being just like, am I about to get caught?
Yeah. But like, what a fucking idiot, man. Like, this movie is really, really good, but I don't know how I thought there'd be multiple heists when I saw the plan.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is your plan?
Yeah.
I get that it's the 70s, and like, you could probably get away with literally anything back then, but I'm like, I'm seeing some holes in this plan, my guy.
But then like to even find out like when the police like get to him and he's just like, oh, I have to talk to my dad, the judge, about this.
I was like you're
that fucking guy.
Idiot.
You're that fucking dude.
Oh, you're the worst. And how is Josh O'Connor so good at being the worst in a way that I like?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Even when he was in that Emma period. Like 5 or 6 years ago, and he was
so good.
I was like, he is eating up the screen, and he's awesome. Like I don't know why there's not enough talk about. Like everyone's always like, who's the new Bond? Who's the new Bond? Make it him. He's cool. Not, he's interesting.
We're not going to talk about it, but he's got three movies that we would have talked about in this podcast.
What's the one other? Because I saw History of Sound, which I highly suggest. Him and Paul Mescal are really wonderful in that movie.
He's the lead in Wake Up Dead Man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so pumped.
I've heard nothing. Everything I've heard about Wake Up Dead Man is about how good Josh O'Connor is.
He's great. The movie is really great. I liked it more than Glass Onion is all. Is really great. Where it landed with me. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Can't wait to see it again, honestly. Like, super fun. And, but yeah, The Mastermind. Great. See it. It's another one that, like, I feel is ripe for. Actually, all of her stuff should. I don't know why this is all just like getting into Criterion, but like all of Kelly Reichardt's stuff should really just go to the Criterion.
There's a couple. Criterion. I think Old Joy is in the closet.
Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And I think at least one or two others. I can't remember what, but Old Joy I know definitely because it's always on my list of like to buy and then gets kicked off by something new.
Yeah, that was I didn't realize. I mean, I just there's the sales going on right now, and I picked up a couple of things that I wanted to get in like 4K. So that was like because I apparently needed This Is Spinal Tap in 4K. I don't know why, but I did. Oh, yeah. Still got to see Spinal Tap 2 at some point. And we'll talk about it in one of these podcasts.
Yeah. What?
Maybe. But for now, let's talk about Roofman.
I wanted to see it.
Really, really like Roofman.
It's really good. It's really good. I think
Channing is incredible.
He's great.
Kirsten Dunst is really, really wonderful. And I think their chemistry is off the charts.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. It's very funny.
But it's way more of a quieter movie than you would guess based on the poster.
Yeah. Or the trailers even.
Yeah, I haven't seen the trailer either. But it's a much more somber film than you'd expect.
Well, it's Derek Chien France, right? Yeah. Or Saint yes, Sean Chien France. He doesn't make anything that makes me ever feel good.
No, yeah, and you will not feel good by the end of this, especially like when based on like a true story, and then actually seeing like the after the movie finishes and like the where are they now section, you're just like, oh, okay.
during the credits, it does all the real people, and there's this one police officer who comes off like a monster at the end of this movie, and it's so funny that he snuck that into the credits.
See this. I think there's it's very good. The chemistry, not even with like Kirsten Dunst, but also with like the kids and just like and all of the the church group and stuff like that. It's all very well done, very good. Lakeith Stanfield also really good as like his like a partner throughout this, or like the one who like he kind of calls up.
Juno Temple, thankfully not ruining it.
Yeah, Juno Temple, just like, you know, the couple of scenes that she has doing pretty
such
well.
Such an overcast role.
Yes. So like so funny that it's her, and just to like see her in this and be like, this is what you're
fine. And then once again doing her terrible American accent that she doesn't what's the Venom third one movie?
Last Dance. Let There Be Carnage.
Venom,
no,
the last Carnage.
The Last Dance.
No, that's Magic Mike, The Last Dance.
Isn't it The Last Dance?
I think it's The Last Dance. I think they're both The Last Dance. And it's also that ESPN documentary about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's The Last Dance, bro.
It's The Last Dance.
Yeah. And Dinklage being a real jerk boss.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
Russ, you'll really like it. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. You're gonna go crazy for it. All right, if I had legs, I'd kick you, Peter.
Don't get away too much because I want to see it bad.
If you're gonna have a panic attack during one film this year, make it If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
Oh, that's what I want then.
Just for clarity, like I saw this immediately after having a panic attack during Trent Ares, and Maybe this is, you know what? Maybe I'm broken.
Oh no, I think, I mean the Tron Ares part, yes. This part, no. This movie's it's a weird hang. And it really leans into it in a very surprising way on the filmmaking side.
Yeah.
That I wasn't really expecting. Like the movie like is constantly fucking with you in a way that is really off-putting, but is like deeply interesting.
Yeah. Rose Byrne is so good.
Yeah. And then down to the casting of Conan O'Brien.
Which was like, so unsettling.
The weirdest weaponized casting I think I've ever seen.
Yep. And to watch this and to watch her like going to watching Tron Ares having like a batshit insane like panic attack for no real reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the world's not great.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, whatever. It is what it is right now. And you Jared, know, that I was jobs. Maybe that's what it really was in the long run. And then to watch this and to be like, oh, those are real problems. And to be like, oh, things aren't so bad for me. I get it. I understand your pain.
Yeah. And just to mention, because we're not talking about it, because it just came out this weekend and only I saw it, but this is very much a double feature with Die My Love.
Okay. Yeah. So quickly about like Die My Love, like because you're saying that they are so similar in tone, like how is J-Law in that compared to this? And like, do you think that one pulls off kind of like the nature of watching a panic attack unfold for an hour and a half to 2 hours better than the other?
The filmmaking of If I Had Legs is leaning into it more than Die My Love. And Die My Love is like letting the performance carry it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Not to say that J-Law's better than Rose Byrne, but like Lynn Ramsey is not helping out as much as the director of If I Had Legs, whose name I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know either, but like If I Had Legs goes into some like wild spots where it is very like the beach scene and like the belly, like all of these things that are happening are wild.
The movie starts and you could have convinced me in the first 5 minutes that this entire movie would have been told just on a close up of Rose Byrne's face.
Yeah. And I thought it was because like the first like 15 minutes of it, if not more, are just her. You don't see the daughter. Yeah. You don't see anyone else. You just see her.
And it works. Which is delightful.
Which is after seeing Good Boy, I was just like, okay, this is similar. Like instead of like the just having this thing really be or just like one character always on screen. Good Boy obviously was a dog. This is Rose Byrne. But I was like, I'm seeing what you're doing with like the dog had a panic attack and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's also a big reveal of the husband later.
Oh, he's so good.
So good. I mean, for like the scene that he shows up.
Very recognizable voice on the phone, obviously, but
I actually didn't notice it. Yeah. Well,
I was just happy he showed up.
When he showed up, I was just like, what?
But yeah, as I said, if you can get a note from your doctor, watch both of these on the same day. Obviously, go find a woman and tell them you're sorry.
Yeah, that's probably. ASAP Rocky, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, kind of like a pretty good performance in this overall. Yeah.
Playing in the dark web.
Love it.
All right, we got two left to wrap it up.
Yeah, let's do the Smashing Machine. How did you all think of this Smashing Machine?
It's a little bit pointless.
Yeah,
it's a great performance. It's really it is. It's like it's nice to see the let's rewind. It's a good performance because
you don't expect it from The Rock.
I actually do expect it. He just doesn't ever fucking do it. So that's the thing. It's like we all know he can do it. He just never does. So this is like the first time in what all of his career besides Pain and Gain where he's like, oh yeah, here is me acting.
So yeah, from Witch Mountain
was cool. But there's just not enough of a movie here.
Yeah.
My biggest issue is that Benny Safdie writes like he's working with non-actors, directs like he's working with non-actors. And I think And he really hires some great non-actors for his films. And I think Robert Pattinson in Good Time really gets like falls into that world and works there.
Because that is such a natural,
holistic
performance.
Sandler works in that world because he's being destroyed by himself in that world.
Right.
I don't think The Rock or Emily Blunt ever get lost in the reality of this film.
No, and it's and it really, blames.
But like, they belong there.
Emily Blunt's character's got a lot to deal with, and you're just like, is this really, like, this is a lot to put
on
her.
And they yada a lot of it.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't make sense. Like, you wonder, like, is she still around after, like, when 20 minutes go by, and then you find, oh, she is. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, why are we jumping around so much then?
It's so weird. Like, there's one scene in which she's having lunch with a friend, and this friend's in the movie for like 8 seconds, and it's not an actress. It's like a complete nobody. And you're just like, this is famous person Emily Blunt having lunch with a real person.
Yeah.
And not this character having lunch with this other person and ordering some margs. So for me, it was frustrating because I could not stop seeing the two of them. But like in terms of the non-actors, what's the dude's name?
Ryan Bader was great. Like, his friend
is in.
Oh, he's really good.
Incredible in this movie.
And I'm like, that if this movie was like a two hand, like if it was about both of them.
Yeah.
That which it should be because like how it ends.
It does become that.
It kind of feels like Warrior, like towards the end of Warrior where you realize, oh, it's both of the brothers and here they are. I'm like, if you made this movie that way.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, and you're documenting both of their journeys.
That's like a rise and a
different
fall.
than the documentary that is The Smashing Machine. Like, if this documentary was basically this already.
Yeah.
So what are you telling people that they don't already know? I think instead of trying to go for like the I'm the Rock and I'm going to be the best actor, maybe you go supporting by being like co-leads in this or something. I don't know. This movie, it looks good because it looks like a Safdie movie, but now I'm like, you got Josh coming out with that friggin' ping pong movie and that looks incredible.
Which people are saying is great. So good. Yeah, I can't wait. Like, what is that called again?
Almost said Smashing Machine.
Marty Supreme,
the Smashing Machine. Yeah, holy.
But it's just kind of he can do it, and him and Blunt actually have very good chemistry, but they're just not in.
No,
they don't exist in this world. They don't exist in this world in the way that they need to.
Yeah,
and obviously the only person who could play this guy is The Rock. Yeah, but like it's too much capital. It's capital A acting in a movie that needed lowercase a acting.
Agreed.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's obviously a play for him to get like some sort of nomination or nods somewhere, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen because there's just too much going on right now.
He's got a Golden Globe nomination in his future. But
he'll get a Globe. But if this is a bridge to him like taking movies more seriously, that's a win.
Well, he's slimming down.
Yeah. It seems like he's looked at friggin' Dave Bautista, who's eating his lunch from a creative standpoint, and he's going to start pivoting. And thank God, because I'm like, dude, make be in better shit. You can. Yeah. You have all the money in the world, all the clout, and your own production company. Most of your choices are yours. Like, you're not most people aren't in the situation where they can directly change their outcome.
Yeah.
He can. So, do it.
Do it.
You know, other than, like, demanding that the ape in Rampage survives.
Yeah. Which is
Not
a terrible movie. Every time I, like, break something or I'm in the hospital, that movie comes on and I don't hate it.
Oh, God. The Rock's, like, slate coming up is... back to a hot rock garbage.
What's he got?
Moana, Jumanji 4, Fast X Part 2, Hobbs and Shaw 2, which I don't think is actually ever going to happen.
That's not going to happen. That's ending with Fast X 2, right?
If we're that done? Even gets made.
Yeah.
Universal already said, like, hey, you got to figure out how to make this movie for less than $250 million.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
We need, like, I get it. They're like, we can't greenlight this until it comes under, because we're not going to make any goddamn money.
No.
Right. It's like,
Oh. So the Fast Saga canonically ends with Vin Diesel getting killed by a dam breaking.
Which, you know what?
Or like, did he?
Yeah. I mean, if they straight up were just like, okay, we're just going to street race for this one, and we're going to...
that's the thing. You could say, like, the Fast X Part 1, like, all right, now technology is gone. Now we're taking it back to the street. I know they say that in literally every movie.
They say that every single time. They still go to fucking space somehow.
Now we're really taking it back to the streets. Then when the way you solved your problems was you ran. You raced. And if you didn't win the race, you didn't get the barbecue unless you pray. Like, well, we gotta get back to that.
What I feel like they do for the next one is, like, they're just like, well, all cars are gone, so it's foot racing from now on.
Cars illegal.
Yeah.
And it just becomes the Running Man.
Yeah.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
I walked by the New York premiere of that the other night. When leaving the theater for the movie we're about to talk about, and saw Coleman Domingo and William H. Macy, which was very fun.
Ooh. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about... Let's take a ride to the Badlands.
Yeah, the Terrence Malick.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Sissy Spacek, Martin Sheen.
Yep.
Starkweather Murders, right?
Yeah. I saw that at the Paris as well, in a 35mm screen. Yeah, that was fun.
Russ's Letterboxd review is the perfect review of it.
Because that's what it is. It's fucking The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I saw The Mandalorian trailer. It was attached to this. And I was like, this is the same fucking thing.
It is 100% the same thing. And that, like, when I read your review, I was just like, oh, shit, you're right.
They even put a Grogu in there, man. Yep. Like, it's that plus God of War plus Doom Eternal.
Yeah. There's so much video game, Sony Santa Monica, Ubisoft type stuff going on here. I kept thinking of, like, Horizon Forbidden West throughout this whole thing. And there's, like, I didn't care for, like, I'm not against having a Predator main character, but, like, at some point during this movie, I was so bored.
Yeah.
I was just like, I just need something else. Like, this isn't driving me forward.
Expecting this to be the most frustrating movie of the year.
Yeah.
Dan Trachtenberg made, for my money, the second best Predator movie. If not
after Predator 2.
Yeah. And then for some reason he took that cachet, made the animated film.
Which was good.
Which was really great. We forgot that we were gonna talk about that when this came out. And then made this, which is not a Predator movie.
No.
In any way, shape, or form, like, Prey is a Predator film for what Predator is, and it is an incredible example of that. This is something else, and as you said, it's the opening of this movie, and when it's just three Predators talking only in this other language, I was like, oh God, is this going to completely fall on its face?
And that is exactly what I thought, and then that just keeps going.
Yeah.
For the rest of the movie of like the Predator just like being like a main character and talking. And then the Elle Fanning as the robot at one point being just like, do you need me to put on my translation module? As though like, are you talking to the audience to tell them why they can understand English from here? Right,
like,
now?
I'm like, dude, I love, like, especially we've got Alien Earth right now. We've got the Alien Covenant movie and like, I love a good synth.
Yeah.
I love a good synth. They've been some of the most interesting characters in the Weyland Yutani film verse.
Yeah. Yep.
And you gave us an Elle Fanning who was entirely capable of being like interesting and cool.
Yeah.
And she wasn't.
Yeah.
Did not like the Predators. I started to enjoy it a little bit more when she came in, even though it was still frustrating. I was like, okay, this is kind of working, but still it's not It's not a Predator movie, even though it's usually a Predator movie.
And now he's got full control, it seems like, of the canon.
Which is, like, kind of frustrating now.
And, like, it sucks because I'm like, you got it off the ground in, like, such an amazing way. And I this movie it's serviceable. It's not bad.
Yeah, right.
But I just worry that we're going to learn all the wrong lessons and we're not going to get a pivot back to Prey.
I agree.
Or even Prey energy. We're going to keep going down. It's going to be Team Predator next.
So that kind of almost frustrates me with Killer of Killers. And he's like, so he does Prey and sets it in this time frame. And then immediately people are like, what about a Predator here? A Predator here, a Predator here.
And he does all three of those.
Yeah, now that movie kind of feels he's like, all right, here's your slop, piggies. I'm going to do what I really want to do.
Which is Team Predator. They're wolves now.
Which is just...
Oh, that was so... God.
This movie didn't need to be a Predator then.
Yeah.
And that's kind of annoying. And it, like, the Predator goes through, like, a whole, like, character development, which is kind of frustrating. And it was like, because a Predator doesn't need to do that. I don't believe a Predator doing this as well.
Right. Like, that's kind of the whole thing. Now, is that,
this was Knuckles. That's right. One thing.
Culture, like, centuries of their culture is about this one thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're telling me these people who have this race that has killed dinosaurs and been around for millennia.
Yep.
All it takes is one good synth. And now I'm...
You, like, creatively lie to him in enough ways.
And now I'm also
a brother who has, like, you know, kind of a soft spot for his younger brother.
Yeah, and, like, kind of unexplained motivations.
Yeah, like,
really? Kind of tossed off. Like, he saved his life once.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're, like, watching, like, the runt of the Predator, like, you know, litter, like, go off and, like, do whatever and get saved and come back and to me, like, the very final, you know, the final 5 minutes when he goes back, I was like, okay, this is a fine fight. I'm into this thing. But that was about it. Like, everything in between, so, like, I don't give a crap about Needlegrass, and I don't understand why there's Needlegrass here, nor do I give a shit about Needlegrass.
There was a lot of unintelligible, illegible action in this.
Yeah.
And then at times when there wasn't, I do like alien flora and fauna. I like that range. This movie suffers a little bit because Scavenger's Rain just came out last year, and that show fucking rules. If you haven't seen Scavenger's Rain,
do not know what that is. No.
Oh, it's an HBO show. It's all about a planet that's, like, every single thing is gonna kill you.
Okay.
So I like that stuff. I like that the Predator, it, like, quickly adapts and, like, makes this planet, like, his arsenal and all that stuff. And I think that those fights work later on. But once again, like, none of that stuff in my head is what a Predator does.
No.
Right.
And even just, like, the way the movie is put together, I'm like, okay, so how much is Disney, how much are they putting their thumb on the scale? Because this is a very violent movie that is PG-13 because there's no actual red blood. And because every person who gets killed is the same fucking synth guy.
Yep. Oh my God. So many synths just keep dying. And you think that they're going to be, you're like, oh God.
I'm like, you want me to care about this movie and you couldn't even have given me, like, variety in the synth people. This is cheap.
Yeah.
This is cheap. It's like, it truly is a video game.
Yeah. Mm. The whole time it was just like video game straight up. Going on, it was just a bunch of cutscenes, and
this,
like,
is,
you know,
doing
quick
really well. This is doing very well. So it's like we are definitively going to get 75 more Team Predator movies.
And but, like, this, that's just, not this, what I want. A sequel that I have no interest in.
No.
Is there already a sequel group there? I mean, I assume there must.
There's gonna be probably by this weekend. But it's like at this point. Just fucking give me Alien versus Predator. If you're going to make the Predators, if you're going to make them overt good guys now because they're wolves, then just give me that. And like, give me protect. A better version of that, because I do not want to see you do any more with this lore, because you are in full control and I don't trust you.
This was, I was so disappointed.
But it's entertaining enough. It's just not what I want. It's not a Predator.
Yeah, that's why frustrating is the word I would use for this movie. In the sense that, like, I would kind of, if I might watch it again at home and still kind of complain during it, but yet still watch it. I don't, it's very confusing.
It's just, it's like, even like the review scores have been like so oddly high for it as well. And that's also been like kind of a weird, like, am I the one that's out of touch or is it the children? Like, what's going on right now? And, you know, we could, I guess we could talk about Chainsaw Man as well and kind of like where that is. But like, I feel like that's, I'm missing something right now, because this is not what I would want out of a Predator movie. And again, like, if it was, like, if you were to give me something similar to this, where it was a Predator being hunted by other Predators, and like with like no dialogue or talking, and it was just like straight silent, just like hunting the whole time, and that being it, versus just like, I don't know, like weird quippy android stuff and the jumping on top of like very obvious CGI animals and like, you know, like speeder bike chases of sorts that are going, like, none of that matters to me. Like, none of that should matter to a Predator.
They could have easily, if they wanted to go all Predators, they could have easily done a Most Dangerous Game situation where they're like, totally. Okay, the runts of the litter get dropped onto these death planets, and if the other stuff doesn't kill them, we will. If they survive, they're welcome back. If they die, good.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That way we can get, like, we get that that's part of their culture, and we get to watch a Predator, a runty one, try to live, and we get to avoid all the brothery stuff. And if at the end of that movie that guy lives and he kills them, and now he's the alpha, that's cool too. Like,
yeah,
just keep your culture the same.
Well, the alphas protect, though.
And the thing is, I don't hate that.
I know,
it's
either.
Not Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it's like, this is good, just not for this.
Yeah, my hope with going from Prey to Killer of Killers to this, that he does something different again.
Yeah.
Because
Prey, I think, was that so good.
Prey rules. Yeah. Because I also, there were fan events in which you could do a double feature and see Prey first.
Oh.
And I'm glad that was sold out, because if I saw Prey and then had to watch this thing,
I would have walked out of this.
I would have been so angry.
And I stayed in theaters where there were rats in the theater in the aisles. Oh, God. I would have walked out of this. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
We got The Running Man and Now You See Me, Now You Don't this weekend.
All right. Yeah, that's
No, I won't.
Novella Vogue, too. The Brent Linklater.
Yeah. And then the new Osgood Perkins.
Oh, Keepers this weekend. Why? Halloween was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know why.
It makes no sense.
He's made hits, and this seems to just...
He's got pop. This is his second movie of the year.
Yeah. Monkey was earlier this year. That piece of shit.
I like parts of Monkey. The more I think back on Monkey, the more I'm just like, that was a weird movie. And that school bus scene at the end was, you know, that was worth it for that.
I cannot for the life of me understand why Sisu got a sequel, but I'm very excited for the Sisu sequel.
There's a Rose Sisu Revenge. Sequel?
Yeah, there's a Sisu sequel. And what's his name? Stephen Lang, isn't it?
Yeah. Holy crap. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing that now. I think that I kind of want to see, I might tomorrow go for Sentimental Value. I want to see that.
I'm seeing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Where are you seeing it?
Lincoln?
Yeah, it's also at Angelica. I'm deciding. Right. See what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just decided Angelica for you.
I didn't want to say it, but... We'll talk about it next time. I really looks really good. That was in one of the other trailers that was before. What was it? It was just an accident. And what else is coming out? What else we got coming out? Mickey Supreme, whatever that's called. Ricky Stenicki.
Over the next month, Wicked is the 21st.
Wicked for good.
Rental Family, which is not supposed to be great, but
I have no idea what that is.
That's Brendan Fraser's follow up to The Whale.
I saw that. That trailer was before. It was just an accident as well, and I was just like,
"It's not supposed to be great."
Okay,
it doesn't look interesting at all to me.
And then Thanksgiving is Zootopia 2 and Eternity,
and Hamnet.
Ooh. I keep hearing mixed things about Hamnet.
Yeah, but I'm excited.
I'm excited.
I feel like I kind of have to read it first, even though I know I don't have to.
Yeah, I'm also like most excited for Zootopia 2 of all of the things that we just talked about. Yeah, I love Zootopia.
I liked it. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, but I've never gone back to it.
You know, to be fair, never gone back to it either. So, with that first watch, it's like animated stuff. I like animals. You know, this is why Good Boys already is somewhere in the top 10.
Oh, 10 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, they need a guaranteed billion to close out the year. Or
jeez,
they're not going to be a happy little megacorp.
Have to buy more corps.
What else? What are some of the other big? What's the new Clooney that's coming out?
Well, Jay Kelly. That's a Netflix movie, so it's just going to be at like the Paris, and then a couple other little theaters, and then go on Netflix in December.
It really looks like for me, Thanksgiving's going to be it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a new It?
No, It as far as movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, we'll try to get one in right after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And then right around there. And then we'll have a hiatus. Unless me and Tiggs want to do.
I was going to say, this is how it becomes a two-person podcast that we've been trying to push for, I don't know, 10 years.
Our highest
rated episode. Do it now, fucking kill you.
Yeah, we could just do it. We'll just keep it going so that people don't forget about it. And then we could just, you know, we'll have some shorter episodes, you know, do some two-prov, you know.
Hopefully early December.
Yeah.
Potentially January.
Yep. And then every 2 weeks, we'll get on a real schedule.
And we'll have advertisers at that point.
Oh, God.
We'll.
Hymns, because why not?
We'll have to drop it. We'll actually just become the movie podcast. And the fight for the rights to that will be lengthy. But
we'll win it, though. I believe in us. Exactly.
And then we'll figure out what top tens and Oscar looks like.
And that'll be good. We'll figure it out from going from there. There's still a lot to come out. Just even hearing about some of the slate that's going up right now. Oh, and Train Dreams. Trains are dreaming.
Another movie that I'm angry that Netflix bought it.
Just go to the Paris, man. It's a good theater.
Pay for A-list. And I will pout until it allows me to see it on A-list.
The Paris, you know, like it's a, you know, single screen. They got a balcony and they just have popcorn and candy.
I also think their seats are very uncomfortable.
Yeah, like they used to be in the 90s when movie theaters were movie theaters.
Wanted to go see Frankenstein because she loves Guillermo del Toro, and then she's like, oh, this movie's like 2.5. I'm not sitting in a Paris seat for 2.5 hours.
Oh, man. I see. That's why. So if you go to the Paris, hot tip, you pick row AA, and I believe it's seats 11, 12, and 13, which are the front row of the balcony on like in the center, but on the far left side. Perfect seats, and you get a bunch of room. And you also have there's nothing in front of you, and so you can really stretch out. Ooh. It's really great. Those are the seats to take.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Maybe I will try to do Train Dreams.
Yeah. How long is that? Like 6 hours?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah. All right, let's wrap this thing up. You can find Russ. Oh, well, you can find us on the Web Movie Podcast, probably. You can find Russ everywhere. Russ Incredible. You can find Peter as 12 Angry Peters. Is that still it? Okay, on Letterboxd. You can find me as Johnny Tiggs on Letterboxd and Strava. Come on, I'm starting my marathon training, so let's get into it.
Well.
Yeah. Be good. And then you can find Alex, as he said, on this podcast.
Sometimes.
And I think, is that it? Is that how we usually end this thing? I think that's it. I keep getting confused. It's almost like we haven't done this for a really long time. Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, thank you all for being here.
We used to talk about how there's a show at the creek.
Oh, yeah. With Nick Maritato, who I haven't talked to in a long time, but I'm sure he's doing great.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, thank you all for listening. And we will see you next time, or hear you next time, or you'll hear us next time. Shit. On the movie podcast.
You can do it.
That was a good perfect boy.